Mr. Producer, there we go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to hour number two of the Conservative Daily.
You're supposed to do that in the screen.
Oh, I didn't know it was in the screen. See, that's what happens when you add new features.
All right. Well, it's not a new feature. This is something we've been doing for a while. I guess you haven't been watching. Okay. This is Evan's first time filling in for Josh in a while, so I'll let you do the intro, Evan. Do the intro as you would have done it.
All right, here we go. Ready? Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the second hour of Conservative Daily. And join us back. Oh, you screwed me up here, Max. Jeez. With our host, Max McGuire. Joe is off for the afternoon. He's got other things to take care of, but welcome back, everyone.
I got stuck in your head. Told you. You let it get to your head.
It's all in my
head. Right. Everyone say good job, Evan, in the comment section. Give him some of that words. Those
I'm patting
words
myself
of
on the back. I thought I did great.
So, again, as we mentioned in the first hour, let's put up that image one again. This half of the episode is brought to you by the number 1.8%. And that's mask mandates were associated with a 1.8 percentage point decrease, a p-value less than 0.01, in daily COVID-19 case growth rates 81 to 100 days after implementation. Again, full source there. And we're going to get into that full source. We're going to talk about what that means, what this study did, what this study said, what this study found, and then we're going to ask whether we would have all done this if we had known a year ago that masking up would only decrease the spread by 1.8%. And again, that's not a 1.8% decrease. It didn't make the virus go down. It just limited the growth rate of case numbers. So case numbers still went up. They just went up at a 1.8% slower rate on a daily basis. So we'll analyze whether that is good enough. We'll analyze whether that really meets the standard that the government has to meet in order to justify violating your constitutional rights. And again, if you want Joe to have his own episode one day, I'll be on it. It'll just be one episode where we don't go live on YouTube or Facebook. Hit that thumbs up on YouTube, hit that thumbs up on Facebook, and continue commenting on DLive. And we're going to give away some lemons on DLive right now. A little bit of an incentive. Get people wondering what they'll get if they switch over to DLive for that one episode a week. Okay. So we have this. Let me make sure I have this right. We have this study from the CDC. Put up my screen, Mr. Producer. This is called Association of State-Issued Mask Mandates and Allowing On-Premises Restaurant Dining with County-Level COVID-19 Case and Death Growth Rates, a study conducted between March 1st and December 31st of 2020 in the United States. So what does that mean? They looked at states that shut down indoor dining at restaurants and implemented mask mandates, and they tried to look at the numbers and determine how many lives, because they also looked at the death rate, and how many cases those two orders were allowed to ended up preventing or slowing down. What effect those two kinds of orders had on case numbers and death rates. So let's read a little bit about this. And again, don't ban me, bro. Don't ban me, bro. Actually, I think we have the Don't Ban Me, Bro t-shirts up and running. So I'm going to grab that. We have this from the CDC. So I don't want to get banned because everyone who gets banned are banned for not following CDC guidance. We do have these t-shirts. So let me go ahead, put up my screen. Here we go. Don't ban me, bro. Oh, get out of here, ad. Don't ban me, bro. These are the t-shirts everyone wanted. Don't ban me, bro. We have t-shirts, we have tank tops, we have women's t-shirts, and we have hoodies. So make sure you check it out there. We'll add some more colors, but it's the Don't Ban Me, Bro. There's the hoodie. There's a t-shirt. There's a women's t-shirt. And then we also got this nice orange. I don't know why orange, but I like it. It's fire.
It's a bro tank. You got to have the bro tank.
Yes, because that's our leading demographic for the Conservative Daily Podcast. No, but I like it. I like it. And then we got t-shirts. We'll add more colors to that. We might have to add another option where it's not the black, but the white. But it'll be up on our store. Make sure you check that out. Link should be in the description. Also, if you go to conservative-daily.com, in the link in the top will be for the store. So let's go back to this study. It says, summary, what is already known about this topic? Universal masking and avoiding non-essential indoor spaces are recommended to mitigate the spread of COVID-19. Okay. What is added by this report? Mandating masks was associated with a decrease in daily COVID-19 case and death growth rates within 20 days of implementation. Allowing on-premises restaurant dining was associated with an increase in daily COVID-19 case growth rates 41 to 100 days after implementation, and an increase in daily death growth rates 61% 61 to 100 days after implementation. So a lot, we're going to dive into that because it's not quite as simple as that abstract makes it sound. It's not that simple because when they're basically trying to summarize it in a way that's easily digestible for the American people. Easy to digest. What's the key finding? Oh, masks are good, indoor dining bad. Not exactly what the findings from this report show. So we can go back to my screen, Mr. Producer. This is an image they have. Community requirements that affect universal mask use are associated with changes in spreading of COVID-19. In counties where states required masks, case and death rates slowed. See how they have a little asterisk? We're going to get into that asterisk in a second. In counties where states allowed on-site restaurant dining, cases and death rates went up. So eating at restaurants, bad. Wearing masks, apparently good. So we're going to get into this of what it actually means, but there's lots and lots of numbers. Lots and lots of numbers. So let me, where is it? It's right here. Here we go. This is the chart. So I just went from their webpage to the actual study. Association of States, state issued mask mandates and allowing on-premises restaurant dining with county level COVID-19 case and death growth rates, United States, March 1st to December 31st, 2020. So we scroll down. This is the big chart. So what they just put in their little press release, easily digestible. This is the chart. So we look at this. They're trying to gauge. This is for mask mandates. Mask mandates. This chart isn't dealing with restaurants. So ignore the 41 to 60 days before, 21 to 40 days before. Basically, they're trying to look at what the growth rate was before. Realize that states pretty much implemented mask mandates. Most states did very early on. So going 60 days before the mask mandate, in many cases, was before we even realized that coronavirus was even here. So you look at 1 to 20 days after. 1 to 20 days after, wearing masks resulted in a 0.5% decrease in cases and a 0.7% decrease in deaths. 21 to 40 days after, a 1.1% decrease in cases, a 1% decrease in deaths. You look at 41 to 60 days, 1.5% down in cases, 1.4% down in deaths, 61 to 80, 1.7 down in cases, 1.6 down in deaths. And then the big one, 81 to 100 days. This is 100 days after implementing a mask mandate. They saw a 1.8% decrease in case growth and a 1.9% decrease in death growth. That's, again, that's not saying that all of a sudden at 100 days, no one was dying, right? Because you can't have a negative death rate. Oh, you can actually by more people being born than are dying. But in this case, it just reduced how fast the deaths were going up. So this little bit right here is important. It's a p-value. It's been a while since I've taken statistics. A p-value is basically the value used to determine whether something is or is not statistically significant. So in this case, according to the statisticians who ran these numbers, all of those numbers are considered statistically significant. Now, that's not a subjective thing. That's an objective finding that basically it is that they, with a high degree of confidence, they can say that the variables are what did this and it wasn't just some random fluke. So because the p-values here, you can see right here, the p-values are below 0.05. They can say with confidence that they believe these are statistically significant numbers. That's important because not all of the numbers across the whole study are considered statistically significant. And you can see this. You look at the case numbers, right? The case numbers right here. That is a ridiculous graph, right? Like, yeah, sure, it's a dip, but realize that dip, that big drop here, is still less than 2%. It's 1.8%. But it's fine. They're just doing it in a way that makes it look bigger than it actually is. That's fine. They can do that. We're going to take that down, Mr. Producer. I'm going to look for a specific part in this. I want to make sure. I don't want to spend too much time going through it. Okay, let's go back to my screen, Mr. Producer. When you look at restaurants, this is where that statistical significance becomes important. During the study period, states that allowed restaurants to reopen for on-premises dining in 3,076 U.S. counties, changes in daily COVID-19 case and death growth rates were not statistically significant 1 to 20 days and 21 to 40 days after restrictions were lifted. Allowing on-premises dining at restaurants was associated with a 0.9, 1.2, 1.1 percentage point increase in case growth rates for 41 to 60, 61 to 80, and 81 to 100. Basically, here's the graph. Here's that second graph. And this is where their statistics kind of fall apart a little bit, which I don't know. I don't know if I would be leading with this. You look at right here, these two numbers. See how high that p-value is? The 1 to 20 and the 21 to 40 have p-values that are 0.22 and 0.83. That's way too big to be statistically significant. And they admit it. Same with the death rate, right? The idea that if you open up restaurants, that doesn't have an effect for 40 days of killing anyone. I don't know if that would hold water. I mean, the fact that you're not seeing it that early on would make me question the whole data set as a whole. And then you see 41 to 60 days after. 41 to 60 days after, the death growth rate is not statistically significant. So what they're saying, what they're admitting with this study, is that if you look 60 days after a state opened up restaurants again, 60 days, right? 60 days, there's no statistically significant increase in deaths. That is a big deal. And that is the much bigger question than just their top line analysis, which is that masks work and closing restaurants automatically save lives. This is a huge red flag. The idea that you can open up a restaurant and it doesn't lead to anyone else dying from 1 to 60 days, but as soon as you hit 61 plus, it's connected. Again, if I saw this and I was running the study, I would probably want to relook at my whole processes. But then you also look here, right? On-premises dining with growth rates, 81 to 100 days after, they said that having restaurants open contributed to a 1.1% increase in case numbers. But if you look here again, this is the p-value. The p-value is 0.04, which they say anything, according to their numbers, anything below 0.05 is considered statistically significant. But that is kind of on that cusp, right? Yeah, it might, as the stats show, be statistically significant, but only by hair, right? And you want that p-value to be as low as physically possible to prove that you've run your numbers correctly. So I look at that and I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I would lead with this being, what's going on. I don't know. I don't know if I would. But I mean, that's what they're doing. That's what they're saying. So the top line mandate is that if you open up your restaurants in 100 days, you will expect to see 1.1% more cases and 3% more deaths than if you didn't. And if you wear masks, you would have a 1.8% decrease in cases and a 1.9% decrease in deaths. Interestingly, they did this kind of reversed, which I don't like when studies do this, because it shows that they have a goal in mind. Their goal was to prove that restaurants are bad, masks are good. What they should have done is they should have studied the states that didn't have restaurants open and decided whether or not the closing of the restaurants saved lives. Again, you can kind of get there in a roundabout way, but it's very weird to be proving to be testing a positive and a negative side by side, and which is why you end up with the masks getting a negative percentage value and this getting a positive. I don't know. Having a single study showing what happens when you have a regulation, what happens when you have a different separate non-regulation, just seems a little sloppy. Here's the problem, though. We can take this down now. I know I've bored a lot of you. People's eyes are glazed over. Yeah, I see you, Susie. basically the takeaway here is, for cases, masks, reduce it very minimally. Now, they say it's statistically significant, but the other part of this is, it's still within a margin of error. So all these studies still have a possibility of an error rate, and technically that 1.8% is within the margin of error, meaning that it could be completely wrong, right? They think it's correct, but it's still possible it could be wrong. The same is true for the death rate. So the question we are left with, knowing all of this, that even the CDC's best study, it's that if you wear a mask, if everyone wears a mask, mask mandates, there will be 1.8% fewer cases. And again, 1.9% fewer deaths. Is that enough for the government to force you to do it? And this is where we're not necessarily going to debate the policy. We're going to debate the political theory around it. It's very interesting. It's very interesting with all of this, because when you look at this, is that enough for the government to justify this? Is that enough for the government to say, you're not allowed to leave your house? Because we just did a study, and the study says, if you all stay indoors and don't go outside, we'll save 1% more lives, 2% more lives. Is that enough? Right? Is it enough for the government to say, well, if you wear a mask, we will see 1.8% less cases in 100 days, and therefore you should always have to wear your face diaper? Is that enough? Personally, I don't think it is. I don't think it is enough. I think the government should listen. If a year ago the government said everyone wear a mask, and in the conclusion we will be able to save 1.8% more lives, I think people would have laughed at them. And that you can recommend it. You can recommend it. And again, as I've said on the show for a long time, the concept of covering your cough, is well founded. If you have germs and you cover it and you block those germs from reaching someone else, there's a less likelihood of them getting sick. That's basic stuff, right? Humans have understood that for thousands of years. It's the mandate part of it. It's the mandate part of everyone must wear a mask. If you are on an airplane, you must wear a mask. Otherwise, you're going to get fined thousands of dollars. Does the government have the authority to do that based on this study? Because again, remember, for a year, they've been saying, follow the science, follow the science, follow the science. Here we have the science. And they say it's statistically significant, but it's still within that margin of error. I don't know. I don't know at all. I personally think that it's very obvious that they overplayed their hand a bit. And that might have been why in the early days they were recommending against mask wearing. I don't know. Because remember, before they changed the guidance, they said mask wearing actually could make it more dangerous. We don't know, right? I couldn't imagine them using this statistic and getting away with it. If it was actually legitimately challenged in court, I couldn't imagine them getting away with it. But let's look at other ways. Imagine a Democrat politician said, we believe that if we restrict your right to carry a gun, right? Even though the Second Amendment says you have the right to bear arms, we believe that if we get rid of your right to carry a gun just for 100 days, we'll decrease shootings by 1.8%. Would that be enough to justify that infringement of your constitutional rights? I don't think so. I think we'd all be literally up in arms if they tried to say a 1.8% decrease in shootings would ultimately justify a complete carry ban. No, of course we wouldn't accept that. What they said, they did this, but if you don't go to church for 100 days, we will be able to save 1.9% more lives. The concept that by you going to church, you're actually going to kill more people. Well, how many more people? 1.9%. Ooh, that's terrible. But does that mean I just don't get to practice my faith? Again, the concept of linking that is absurd. They're trying to say that the restaurants are what did it, when in reality, you can say they corresponded and kind of matched up with it, but you can't say that the restaurant diners killed people. Right? That's a very hard thing to prove. The same for churches. Say, okay, well, you are a Christian. On my order, which they did this in California, no one will be allowed to celebrate Easter in 2020 or 2021, because if you go and celebrate Easter, 1% more people could die. That would get laughed out of a courtroom. It just no one buy it. Oh, you don't have the right to protest against your government anymore, because technically that could lead to a 1% increase in cases. You don't have the right, you don't have your Third Amendment rights anymore. You must allow government officials to live in your home, the military to live in your home, because if you don't, 1% people more will die. It's an absurd argument. And I'm surprised that they even published this, because when you actually look at it, it's very concerning. It's very, very concerning, because it shows just how weak their argument has been all along. They haven't been following the science. They've been following their guts. And every time that the science is actually presented, well, actually, this could work, this could not work, they demonize conservatives. All those times that Donald Trump got out and made those comments, the ones that turned into memes, right, the idea of drinking bleach, he never said drink bleach. What he talked about was disinfectant. So it's incredible how disinfectants can kill virus on surfaces. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could disinfect the internal parts of the body? And there are companies that are studying this, the idea of not using bleach, but other types of disinfectants in the lungs to kill the virus. It's very hard. It's a hard science. It's a hard balance to get. It's just like chemotherapy, right? The idea is to kill the thing that's killing you before we kill you. Chemotherapy is itself deadly if you go on for too long or get too much of it. There's lots of medical procedures like that where, yeah, it is potentially deadly, but the goal is to kill what's killing you first. When Donald Trump said that, he had just received briefings on this, right? They're coming to him with new technologies that are being tested. Hey, this might work. And they basically spun it out of proportion and claimed he wanted everyone to drink bleach. To the point where Joe Biden, just a couple days ago, criticized Donald Trump for wanting everyone to drink bleach, even though he never said it. There's another point where Donald Trump talked about using UV light inside the body. He said, wow, UV light kills everything. How great would it be if we were able to get UV light inside the body? And everyone laughed. Well, not everyone, the left laughed at him and said, how could you put UV light in the body? Well, it turns out there are companies out there now. They're trying to incorporate LEDs into ventilators to shine UV lights into people's lungs, with the goal being not just for coronavirus, but for other viruses, to kill the viruses that are living in the lungs while they're being on a ventilator, right? So it's basic technologies. It's basic stuff. When Donald Trump recommended it, they laughed at him. They didn't follow the science. They followed their political hatred. And yeah, Trump recommended a few different drugs along the way, and that wasn't just him making things up. That was the experts telling him that, yeah, you should look at these drugs. These drugs are promising. We should at least consider it. So the left didn't follow the science. Like, they didn't follow it at all. They flip-flopped every couple days, every couple weeks. And it's no surprise that people started hating the mask mandate. I mean, when you see that one guy who got arrested while paddleboarding out on the water, and they just arrested him for violating a shelter-at-home mandate, no one could possibly argue that paddleboarding on your own increases the risk to anyone else. Right? When two people are sitting in a car watching the sunset up on a hill in California, and they get a ticket for violating a shelter-at-home, and they live together, right? When people get tickets for sitting on a park bench with their spouse, who they drove there with, who they sleep in the same bed with, who they eat dinner with, but no, it's a crime to sit on the same park bench. None of that is science-based. It's all fear-based. It's all fear-based. They cater to people's fear in lieu of actual science. The American people are very smart, which is why I like what Texas is doing. The American people are smart. The American people know how to take care of themselves. They know how to manage risk, and they know how to do what's best for them in their situations. They do, right? This is not a novel coronavirus anymore. Most of us understand. I mean, remember when the first news came out, everyone was like, not taking in packages. People weren't taking in packages. People were spraying down packages. Well, now we know that the risk of the virus being on a package that just got delivered, sitting outside in the heat of the summer, very low, right? We know a lot more about this now. We can do what's best for our own health. We don't need the government stepping in and issuing mandates, especially when the science that they're using to back those mandates up doesn't really do it. Right? There's not a single other constitutional right where we would be okay with the government violating it to save 1.1% of lives, right? It doesn't work that way. They're constitutional rights for a reason. And I'm really concerned about this, especially when it comes to gun control, because if that's the threshold, if the government's allowed to violate your rights in order to basically save 1% of the total lives that would have been lost, it's very easy to apply that logic to gun control. Well, if we ban assault weapons, we believe we will save 1%. 1% fewer people will die. Oh, so you lose the ability to defend yourself in order to save a mythical 1%. Again, it doesn't line up. Like, we'd be up in arms if this was any other constitutional right. This one, though, we're being led just to accept it. We're led to accept it. And the data, I know people's eyes are glossing over, so I won't go back to it and show too much more of it. But the data, just, it doesn't back this up. It doesn't back up the heavy-handedness. It doesn't, what the government had to do to make this mask mandate happen, right? The steep fines. Read what the fines are from the FAA for not wearing a mask on an airline. So they're very steep. They can be into the thousands of dollars, right? They're very, very steep. Does the government have the power to do that to save such a small percentage of lives? I don't know. Especially because the mask mandate didn't even stop the increase. We're not talking about it's increasing, increasing, increasing. Everyone wears a mask and starts decreasing again. They're just saying it increases at a slower rate. I don't know. If they told us a year ago that wearing your mask was going to reduce case numbers by 1.8% 100 days after everyone started wearing masks, I don't think people would have done it. I don't think so. Right? I don't think so. Because in that case, you're not saving grandma. You're not saving anyone. It's just a very loose connection. So I don't know. You guys are free to comment if you think it's worth it. From a legal constitutional perspective, I don't think it's justifiable. I don't think that you can actually restrict liberty like this and use a 1.8 or a 1.9% potential savings of life, which again, there are so many other variables at play here. When you look at Texas, obviously this is designed to stop Texas from opening, to force Texas to have a mask mandate again. The study was conducted before that, but the people doing the study, the whole intent is to dissuade states and localities from giving up their mask mandates and allowing in-person dining. Texas, there was just a report. I think this one was Arizona. There was a nurse at a hospital in Arizona who said almost all of the new COVID cases that they're seeing are illegal aliens. Illegal aliens, and not ones that have lived in the community for a long time. New arrivals. We've talked about this on the show. In Texas, how 6% in one Texas town, they were doing rapid tests at the bus stations. 6% of the people they were testing at the bus station getting ready to board a Greyhound were testing positive. 6%. So if there's 100 people in that bus terminal, 100 illegal aliens, 6 of them have the virus. You put them all on a bus together, chances are that's going to be a little greater than 6%. And they're all going to all different parts of Texas. So there's other variables at play. You can't just say that getting rid of the mask mandate in Texas and opening up restaurants will be what increases loss of life. Because there are other variables at play. Namely, I don't know, Joe Biden releasing COVID-positive illegal aliens into the state. What I'm saying is there's other variables. There's always other variables. Trying to isolate it down to two variables, it's very tough to do. Very, very tough to do. So I don't know. I fully anticipate that we're probably going to get fact-checked. This is why today I use 1.8% and not 1.5%. 1.5 is what all the memes are using. And that's true. They just use a different date range. I use 1.8 at 81 to 100 days because I fully expect that the 1.5 is going to get fact-checked. So maybe they will fact check us. I hope I did a decent job. Some people are saying that the p-values are wrong. I think that they basically just, that was a mistake in the study. I think that instead of showing a high p-value, I think they were just showing it as a low p-value. I think that they just made that mistake in the study because I think it's inverted, right? I think that they just messed that up in that way. But let me know what you think. Do you think they could have gotten away with this? The mask mandates, the restaurant bans, if the people knew this study today or back then. No, I mean, they ruined an entire industry. The restaurant industry is dead. The bar industry is dead. If I'm a bar owner and I just lost all my life savings keeping my bar open, right? Open, but it's closed. Staying in business. If I spent all my life savings to stay in business. And then at the end, you say, oh, congratulations. Good job. What you did is you just contributed to like a 1.9% reduction in total fatalities. Oh, so you're saying that people wouldn't have died. No, people have still died. They just wouldn't have died so quickly. I think you'd see riots in the streets. I do. I think you see legitimate violence because this is not how it was presented a year ago. Not in the slightest. It was that if you go to a restaurant, you're going to kill everyone. If you go to a bar, you're going to kill everyone. If you dare serve alcohol 1 minute after 10 p.m. or 1 minute after 12 a.m., you're going to kill everyone. When the data just doesn't show it. The data just doesn't prove it at all. I don't know. It's shameful, actually. It's shameful that the people in the CDC who conducted the study and are out presenting the study, because I showed you how they're presenting it. Go back to my screen, Mr. Producer. The way they're presenting it is mask mandates and restricting any on-premises dining at restaurants can help limit community transmission of COVID-19 and reduce case and death growth rates. That's what they're saying. That's the advertising. That's the PR. Mask mandates and restaurant bans work. And if you don't do that, you're going to kill people. Well, what they're not saying is that in a lot of people's opinion, that probably is a negligible change. You might be able to say it's statistically significant, but other people would say it's negligible, especially when balanced against constitutional rights. And I hate interest balancing. I hate interest balancing when it comes to constitutional rights, because they're your rights for a reason. They're not your privileges, they're your rights. I hate when the left does interest balancing, basically saying, well, you have the right to defend yourself, but I have the right not to get shot. Well, I'm not going to shoot you unless you do something wrong, so you're okay. But the left loves to interest balance that, like, oh, your rights end where my uneasiness begins, and that the federal government should have wide powers to restrict your rights in the name of public safety. Again, we talked about on the show a couple days ago, the idea of the CDC treating gun control as an actual health crisis. Gun violence is a health crisis. I just don't see how this could survive any strict scrutiny analysis in the courts. Remember, strict scrutiny is basically the government has to prove a compelling interest. Yeah, saving lives is a compelling interest. But if you go to the courts and say, yeah, we'll save 1% of everyone's life if we completely restrict their freedom of movement. Like, no, no court would do that. Has to be narrowly tailored. No, forcing everyone to wear a mask is not a narrowly tailored approach. And it has to be the bare minimum necessary to achieve the result. Obviously, they went above and beyond. Everyone has to wear a mask. And that study even shows the result is not nearly as significant as they wanted it to be. So no, this would fail a strict scrutiny test. Absolutely. The fact that we even haven't had that test is disgusting. But again, CDC is out there presenting this as the way forward. And that if you are Texas, you're going to kill people. Absolutely kill people if you reopen your restaurants and let people take off their masks. I don't know. Other news we got here is that, here it comes. Put up my screen, Mr. Producer. This is the latest news from the CDC. Interim public health recommendations for fully vaccinated people. Key points. Basically, if you're fully vaccinated, you're allowed to do whatever you want now. Well, not really. You still have to wear the mask. Even though they say now you're safe, they still want you to wear the mask. It's a good way of solidarity. And notice how they're not including here people who've had the virus and gotten over it. This should be interim public health recommendations for fully vaccinated people and people who have had the virus and gotten better, because they both have antibodies. Right? But notice that they didn't do this. They didn't put out this guidance before. Like, if you've already had the coronavirus, you can now have large gatherings. They didn't say that, but now they're saying it with about vaccinated people. So here's some of the key findings from this. Oh, they have a graphic. Let's look at the graphic. Okay. So if you have vaccinated in one house, oh my God, and vaccinated in another house, you can, then those two households can get together and it's okay. It's okay because they're all vaccinated. If you have an entirely vaccinated household and an entirely unvaccinated household, they can also get together because they're okay, as long as they're vaccinated and low risk. But if you are vaccinated and the other house is unvaccinated and someone is low risk, you're not allowed to hang out anymore. Not allowed to hang out. No pinochle. No cocktails. Huh. If this is the incredible one. If you are vaccinated in one home and the other home has someone who is a low risk, but also there's someone they know who's high risk but doesn't live in the home, but they might sometimes visit, I mean, grandma, grandpa, you're not allowed to go over there unless you wear a mask, choose well-ventilated areas, wash your hands, and stay 6 feet away from them. And the dreaded one, you're allowed to, if one house is vaccinated and the other house isn't, you can go. But if there's two unvaccinated houses in that party, all bets are off. All bets are off. This is the graphic from the CDC. Just kind of making fun of that a little bit. What do you think about that? What do you think about, right as they're pushing everyone to get the vaccine, now saying, if you are vaccinated... Oh, the other main finding from this is, if you are vaccinated, you can be around as many other vaccinated people as you want with no risk. Right? If everyone is in the room, everyone in the room is vaccinated, you can fit as many people as you want in that room. That's the CDC's new guidance. So obviously they're coming out with this in advance of what probably will look like the green card system in Israel. Not our green cards. We're not talking about immigration. We're talking about the Israeli green card, which basically proves that you either had the virus or you have the antibodies through a vaccine. So in Israel, they're reopening their society, but only if you can prove you have that green card. And they plan in the next month or two to have vaccinated everyone. And then they'll get to the Palestinians, which is interesting. They're probably going to roll that out here. I don't understand why they're not including... they shouldn't be doing this at all. Full stop. But if they are going to do it, it's very noticeable that they're only including vaccines, not including people who have natural antibodies. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense there. But I absolutely, this new finding from the CDC is in preparation for saying, okay, you can reopen, but only if everyone has the vaccine. Like, you can go on an airplane, but only if everyone has the vaccine. You can go on an Amtrak train, only if everyone has the vaccine. You can go into a rest stop on an interstate highway, which falls under federal jurisdiction because it is federal highway, interstate highway. You can go in a rest stop, but only if you all have the vaccine. Or maybe even a hard, strict lockdown like they were thinking of doing with Florida. No one can leave unless you have the vaccine. You can go to a concert, but only if you have the vaccine. You can go to a bar, but only if you have the vaccine. Go on vacation, but only if you have the vaccine. That's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do. And this is all in preparation for that. They're laying the groundwork right here that if you are vaccinated, as long as you are only in a room with vaccinated people, no one can get hurt. Well, the same is true if everyone's healthy, right? If everyone is healthy in the same room, no one can get hurt. But again, I guess we're still presuming everyone who isn't vaccinated is automatically sickly. I don't know. So let me know what you think about this in the comment section below. Again, if you want Joe and me to do one episode a week where we are not on YouTube, make sure you give us a thumbs up. We talked about statistical significance. Make sure you give us a thumbs up. I'm going to be analyzing the number of thumbs up. And if I see a statistically significant increase in the thumbs up for both YouTube and Facebook today, we will do one episode a week, not on Facebook or YouTube, where Joe's just allowed to say whatever he wants. And I just sit back and don't say anything. Well, I'll talk, but I won't stop him because we won't be at risk of violating the terms of service. So if you hit that thumbs up, I'll be analyzing. I'll be running some CDC statistics. And if it's significant, we'll do it. Well, I'm going to end early. My dog's barking in the background. I think something might be wrong with him. He doesn't usually do this. So that's going to be it for this edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. If you like the podcast, make sure you also sign up for our email newsletter. Very important. Link in the description. That's how you stay up to date with things. And we are running a Fax Blast campaign today. A Fax Blast campaign on the first issue that we talked about, Joe Biden's executive order. If you want to support the show, if you also want to fight back against this madness, make sure you sign up for the Fax Blast. Again, link is in the description on Facebook and YouTube. And on DLive, I also included it in with the panel. So if you scroll down in DLive, it'll be right there at the panel. Stop Biden's unconstitutional executive order. Click that and it'll take you right to the Fax Blast campaign. Make sure you also subscribe to our audio podcast available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, or Podbean. All great places. We go live Monday through Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, YouTube, and DLive. So make sure you like and follow our Facebook page. Subscribe, hit the bell for notifications on YouTube, and give us a follow on DLive as well. The more people follow and the more people comment, the more lemons we can give away on DLive. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the podcast. My name is Max McGuire. Remember, everyone, that the fight to take back our country isn't over yet, but the only way we win is if we all stand up and fight together.